The impossibility of love. Oh, it is no accident today that Mary takes center stage for this time of year. Mary is so venerated by some people in Christian faith, and she's so ignored by so many more. And she's so misunderstood by many others. At times in the world that we live in, many times the Catholic faith has transformed this peasant Jewish teenage girl into a queen into another realm. And at times we Protestants and evangelicals have pretended that she never existed. Or they have missed the truth. All of us somewhere along the way might have missed the truth that she is the first disciple. That she displays radical faith. And that she displays a trust in God. You know, we all think we know everything. Every denomination, everything thinks they've got the market on everything. And that they're the right way. They're the ones that's going to do it all just right. And sometimes we like to take bits and pieces of Scripture and put it all together. And we like to make it sound good for us. We like to make it look good. As Vicki was talking to the kids this morning about the wise men not showing up for a long time later, and that is true. You know, in Luke's gospel, the wise men don't come until later in Matthew's gospel. We hear about them. They come showing up, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they don't come when Jesus was born. They come when Jesus was what? A little toddler. Probably 2 to 3 years old when they come. So lots of times we like to take the Christmas story of different gospel lessons of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we like to make one nice one that sounds good for us so it looks pretty, and so that our manger scenes will look correct, our nativities, our creches, whatever, that we'll look just right. But we need to think about, sometimes we do that with other things and traditions that we believe and things that we think is we like it to look better than sometimes it truly is. But in our word today, Mary hears the call of God and she responds. She models faith, she models obedience, servanthood, discipleship, and hospitality. The Annunciation in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It says, here it is. It's coming down from heaven through an angel. It's here. It is the Word of God. And through that message to Mary, He says, you have found favor with God. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will give birth to the Savior. And how can this be, Mary asked. Nothing will be impossible with God. The angel messenger says to her, the call of God is to an ordinary woman. And yet the call is to do something that's most extraordinary. God chose an ordinary human being, an ordinary little servant girl named Mary, to be the vessel through which the Son of God would be born. What is impossible for us is possible with God. If it's impossible in this world that we live in, it's possible with God. Paul, writing later on to the church at Corinth, would reflect on this truth that is common and profound. And we find this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure, he says, in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. It comes from God. You see, in this busy time of year, it's such a busy time of season. I was out yesterday. We had a Christmas yesterday at one of my sister's houses. And I just was... It's in Dunn, so I drove by, and Lord, Walmart parking lot looked like a zoo. People were out in numbers. I just stopped at CVS to pick something up, but I about got bombarded. I mean, literally, a woman just bammed into me and liked to knock me down, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, I weren't paying attention. I thought, really? But anyway, have a good day. Merry Christmas. Now, but people are out. It's a busy time. Things are happening. People are gathering. They've been gathering for weeks, and now they've got 2 or 3 more days together. And it's just a lot of happening. But in the midst of all of this busy time, it's a good time for us to get clarity about what is happening. That God calls ordinary people, just like me and you, to do good things. This has always been the way of God, the way of the Lord. Again, Paul, writing into the Corinthians, says, consider your own call, brothers and sisters, all of you. Consider what God has called you to do. Not many of you were wise by human standards. In other words, Paul's saying, y'all ain't too bright. Not many of you are powerful. You don't have a whole lot of say. Not many were of noble birth. Well, none of us are kings or queens, I don't think. But he says, but God chose what is low and despised in this world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. Or we can go further back into the tradition and rehearse the call of Moses, who suggested that he was not eloquent of speech and that his brother Aaron might be a little better candidate for God. And God says, no, Moses, I chose you. But I'm going to let Aaron help you. I'm going to let him help you, but I want you. So don't forget it's you. See, God calls us all. God, the call of God comes to ordinary human beings like Mary. Yet through ordinary people, the extraordinary happens. The call of God that was found in the Annunciation finds its response in a later text, the Magnificat, the Song of Mary's Praise, Luke 1:46b through 56, that Jessica read to us this morning. Mary senses it. She says, I'm an ordinary person. I am not perfect. She knows that. You know, most people in the world that I know, most preachers get this object. I have some of them that don't. Some of them think they're a little better than others, but they're newly not. We're just people. We get it. You and I get it. We are definitely imperfect people. God did not create perfection. We are imperfect. And we preach and teach to gatherings of imperfect people. So I'm sorry to burst anyone's bubble if that's what you thought. We are all imperfect. Good gracious, we all make mistakes. Good gracious, we all have troubles. But aren't we so very glad that the good news of the gospel is that when God begins to search for us, that God's not seeking perfection. No, He's not. God chooses you and I in the ordinary ways we live, and God loves the unlovable. In fact, God reverses just about every expectation that we might have of how the Lord would enter into the world and save it. You see, does God flatter the proud? No. God scatters them abroad. Does God seek an invitation from the throne? Oh no, God brings those from thrones down. And He lifts up the lowly. Does God hang out in the finest restaurants? Oh no, God throws a banquet for the poor. Does God choose a queen or a princess to be the mother of His Son Jesus? No, God chooses Mary. God chose a young peasant girl to bring the Savior into the world. Does God choose the wise, the noble, and the powerful in this world to accomplish the divine will? No, God chooses you and me. He chooses you and me to do His divine work. Does God love those who are lovable? Yes. And God also loves the unlovable. God forgives the imperfect, and God reaches out to the lost. You see, Christmas is really about the attribute of God, who loves us, who reaches out to us, who reaches down to us, who stoops to our weaknesses, who finds us in the midst of where we are. Charles Wesley's hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, comes that God comes in the unspectacular and the humble when He says, mild He lays His glory down. You see, this is what Christmas is all about. You know, as a child, I remember my sisters and I, along with our parents, having our own Christmas gatherings on Christmas Eve. And then after awakening on Christmas morning and checking to see if we got anything, and sometimes it was slim, but it was good, we gathered ourselves and our treasures and we went to Grandma and Granddaddy's house for Christmas lunch, along with all of my other cousins, aunts and uncles, and crowds. Crowded around in a kitchen, a dining room, and a back porch. There was usually about 20 to 25 of us at those gatherings with lots of noise and lots of fun, and I remember them as wonderful times. We were always excited about being together and playing with our new things and playing with our cousins because we could have the best time. Years have passed, and so have many of those people. Grandparents have gone on along the way. Many of the parents have also gone. And when I look at that place now, I always thought that it was so much bigger than it was. And yet when I look at it and I think of us and we all survived and made it through. Looking back at pictures from long ago, I see happy faces and can recall why someone looks a little happy or someone might look a little sad. I remember going back into that house that was my grandparents', and it will never be the same because they aren't there anymore. Yet today it is still someone's home, and they today are making memories in that place for new generations. You see, it is a simple thing in life. People will probably not remember if you had all the silverware or the correct dishes in place. Just as long as you got something to eat and something that they can eat out of, they don't really care. They will remember, guess what? The goodness and genuineness of the people in that place. They will remember those people because God called and chose Mary, and her response was the clue. God chooses the simple to confound the wise. God chooses the humble to shame the strong. And God always chooses the ordinary to do something extraordinary. What is impossible for us is so possible for God. In a stable, probably more like a cave, on a hillside in the country, out of the way, a baby was born to two scared people, one very young and one much older. They had nothing to offer, only the circumstance of their lives. They heard the call of God, each in their own way. They responded in faith. Christmas for us, 20 centuries later, is no different. 20 centuries down the road, it's no different for you and I. What is the call, and what is our response? What is God saying to you this Christmas? And more importantly, what are you saying to God? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you.